Okay, these are some comments on the entropy computation in the microcanonical ensemble that should help you understand the notes that I provided, so that even if you don't have lessons on the blackboard, you can easily understand what's written there. So the starting point, there are five pages, so starting point is in page one. The equation, the Boltzmann equation, which states the entropy in the microcanonical ensemble, and this is k times the logarithm of the number of states. And the number of states for a classical system is just the integral of phase space in a slice in which the Hamiltonian is bounded between E and E plus delta. Note one thing with respect to what we wrote in the blackboard that I've added here, a 1 over n factorial, which was missing in the lesson, because I wanted to arrive at it, but noting that the entropy was not extensive if you don't include this 1 over n factorial. The 1 over n factorial is needed to ensure extensivity and is explained saying that particles cannot be distinguished. So two configurations which just differ by the names of the particles are just the same configuration and they are just counted once. After that, there is the computation of the entropy for the ideal gas. The ideal gas is simple because the Hamiltonian depends only on the momenta, and so the Hamiltonian is simply the sum of the kinetic energies, and we can immediately perform the integration over the volume, and we get a factor of v to the power n. And then we have an integration over the momenta, but the momenta are bounded by the Hamiltonian. So we should integrate over a shell in which H is bounded between E and E plus delta. So the trick here is to change to hyperspherical coordinates. So we introduce capital P, which is the square root of the sum of pi squared, and then we change variables. In this way, we go to hyperspherical coordinates. We have the integration over the total momentum. And so here we have a measure, which in three dimensions would be p squared dp. In 3n dimensions, ep to the power 3n minus 1 dp. And then we have the solid angle. The solid angle is nothing but the surface of the sphere of radius 1 in 3n dimensions. So we should add a factor s to the power s sub 3n. Then we do the integration over p, which is trivial, and we get an expression. So at page 2, we take the limit n going to infinity because we only want to get terms which are at least linear in the number of particles. So we'll disregard systematically all terms which scale like logarithm of n and constant. These two types of term will be neglected. So first thing, we notice that 1 plus delta over e to the power 3n over 2 can be easily rewritten in a way which shows that it is a number. Indeed, remember that delta is a number of order 1. E instead is extensive, so it scales like n, so it's n times epsilon. Then for large n, we simply get, this is the usual definition of the exponential, e to the power 3 delta over 2 epsilon, which is a number. Delta is a number, epsilon is a number, so the exponential of numbers is simply a number of order 1. It does not increase with the volume. So in this way we can compute the logarithm, and we neglect all those terms which are of order logarithm of n and constants. Then we should approximate S3n divided by n factorial, and here we use the Stirling approximation, both for the n factorial and for the gamma function. They are completely equivalent. So we do the usual expression, the usual expansion, we sum up the terms, and we get the final result, which is at the end of page 2. Putting everything together, we get an expression for the logarithm of v, which contains the terms which are proportional to n, but also to n log n, but also to n log v. A term like n log n is not a nice term because it scales like it's not extensive because of the presence of the logarithm. And also a term like n log v is not a nice term because it's proportional to n, but also the logarithm contains an extensive quantity. And also n log e and the logarithm of the energy is not a nice term because it is not extensive, because also the energy scales like n. But if we put everything together, the third line, you see that we get an expression which is of the form n, the logarithm, and then inside we have a constant, this is 4 pi m to the power 3 halves and everything. Then we have two other terms, which is v over n, which now is nice because v over n is intensive, so it's a constant in the large n limit. And then the second term is e over n, the energy over n, which is again intensive. So the argument of the logarithm is an intensive quantity in the sense that it does not increase when the number of particles increases. And so the only term which counts is the n in front of the logarithm. So that term is indeed extensive, because if we increase the number of particles, the argument of the logarithm doesn't change, and we have a factor of n in front of the logarithm. Then we have also a constant times n, which of course is extensive. So we get the important result, which is the logarithm of w is an extensive quantity, which means that the entropy, which is just obtained by multiplying by the Boltzmann constant by k, is extensive. Once we have the entropy, k, the logarithm of w, we can compute, for instance, the temperature and the pressure. So we remind the usual expression for dE, which comes out of the first principle, dE equal TdS minus PdV plus mu dN. We express dS in terms of the differentials of dE, dV, and dN. And so we get from here that 1 over T is the differential of S with respect to E once you fix V and N. So this is very easy because the energy appears only inside the argument of the logarithm, and one immediately guesses that 1 over T is 3 over 2 K N over E. And then we get the usual expression E equal 3 halves of NKT, which is nothing but the equipartition theorem. We have 3 degrees of freedom for the particle. The particle has only translational degrees of freedom, so it has 3 translational degrees of freedom. And so the total energy is nothing but 3 halves NKT, which means that the specific heat is 3 halves K. And so if we take out K, and we have the 3 halves. We can also compute the pressure. The pressure is obtained by taking the derivative of dS over dV at energy and number of particles fixed. So this derivative is given P over T, if you look exactly. So P is nothing but T. So we multiply the temperature times the derivative of S with respect to V. So we have T, the derivative is Kn over V, and so we get the usual equation of state. Now that we have computed these two quantities, we can ask, can we compute the other typical thermodynamic potentials from the expressions that we've got in the microcanonical ensemble? For instance, one may ask the question if one can get the Helmholtz free energy, which is the basic thermodynamic potential in the canonical ensemble, from these expressions. And the answer is, of course, yes, because all ensembles are equivalent. They're just changes of variable. Nothing physical comes in when we change the ensemble. So from the computations in the microcanonical ensemble, we can compute everything. So let's As an exercise, compute the Helmholtz free energy F, which is a function of T, V, and N, because it's usually considered in the canonical ensemble. So the first thing, we have to change variables and rewrite S, the entropy, in terms of the functions of the variables that are used in the canonical ensemble. So we should replace the energy with the temperature. So we compute the energy, 3/2 over nkt, we substitute in the expression of the entropy, and we get the new expression for S, but now as a function of n, t, and volume. There is one usual quantity which is introduced in the context of a canonical ensemble, which is the de Broglie wavelength, which is called lambda, and is a function of temperature. And there are also constants which depends on the mass and the Planck constant. So if we write everything in terms of lambda, we get a very easy expression. So the entropy is nk, the logarithm of the volume divided by n lambda cube times a constant, plus a constant, which is 5nk divided by 2. Then we use the basic thermodynamic relation between F and E. So F is the energy minus Ts. We know the energy, we know the entropy, we substitute in the expression, and we get the expression which is in the last line, which is the free energy, the Helmholtz free energy, is a function of T, V, and N. Note that here we've used only microcanonical expressions for everything. But of course the answer is correct, as we shall see. As a final comment, note that the expression is consistent with the general thermodynamic result that we had, that the free energy, the Helmholtz free energy, is nkt times the logarithm of the density plus n, a function of temperature. And indeed, this is the case. And g of t, which is the function of temperature, which was undetermined in thermodynamics, comes out as kt, the logarithm of lambda cubed minus kt. And now we can also verify the expression that we had obtained in thermodynamics. If the energy is a linear function of t, of the temperature, with a coefficient which is 3/2 nk, so this means that the coefficient, it scales like with a specific heat which goes like 3/2, then our result was that the temperature dependence was t logarithm of t to the power minus 3/2. And this is the case because lambda scales as t minus 1/2. Okay, this is all.